This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports,
we're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX, our only full two-hour program this week. As we'll have short shows the rest of the week, tomorrow for SLU basketball, Thursday for Thursday Night Football. Friday is going to be countdown to opening day show. We'll be delaying that by a day this week because of Thursday Night Football. So this is your one chance to have a two-hour Sports Open Line. Glad to be with you. As always, if you want to chime in on what we're talking about, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or you can leave a comment on the video stream if you happen to be watching on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. So that is the way that you get in contact with the program today. Here's what we've got coming up. A few guests are going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. We're going to be joined by our friend Lynn Worthy, sports columnist with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. We'll talk Cardinals, probably get a little Blues in there as well. Later on this hour, Tom Timmerman, also from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, is scheduled to join us. We'll get his thoughts on City SC making the announcement on a new head coach. So they once again are putting together the new leadership structure over at City. What does Tom think about the announcement that was made today? We'll talk with him about that at 7:05. So just about a little bit less than an hour from now, we're going to talk with Corey Riggs, Director of Broadcasting with Missouri State Sports, as he is the play-by-play announcer for football on radio, and he's going to be on the call of the Xbox Bowl coming up later on this week. As Missouri State, they've got an opportunity to play in a bowl game, and we'll see if they can come up with a win. They match up against Arkansas State from Frisco, Texas on Thursday evening, and that's a big thing for Missouri State Athletics. So we will talk with him. And we'll also hear a little bit later on in the program from Blues coach Jim Montgomery. He spoke with the media earlier today, and we'll play back some of what he had to say. So that's a kind of a rundown of what's going to be coming up on the show today. Still no official word from the Cardinals regarding Dustin May. And there are things that do have to happen. There's physicals to go through. There's a lot. But I am more and more and more convinced that they may be slow playing this signing because they think that there's an opportunity to maybe work through some other things and clear a 40-man roster spot in other ways other than signing Dustin May, losing, you know, being forced to remove somebody from the 40-man roster. And then a few days later, you trade away a Brendan Donovan, you trade away a Jojo Romero, you trade away a Wilson Contreras, and all of a sudden you've got an open 40-man roster spot where if you just would have been able to wait a little bit on Dustin May, that might you might not be in that spot. Now, I would assume it's not a wait forever type scenario, but I would think that that's part of what's going on right now, and just at some point they will announce Dustin May, and we'll see when that's going to happen. Major League Baseball overall, we're seeing a few more things start to move forward. The Cubs made a move today as they bring back Caleb Thielbar, as he's going to be back with the club. He really pitched well for the Cubs this past year, had a 2.64 ERA in 67 games. So the Cubs are trying to really shore up their bullpen, and that's a big part of who's going to end up winning the NL Central this upcoming season. Just what the bullpen's going to end up looking like. There are some teams that have done better than others when it comes to bullpens. There are teams that have done better than others when it comes to protecting leads. I would contend the Cardinals have only won as many games as they have won as a result of the really good bullpen work, both from a just a performance standpoint of the actual relief pitchers, and also I think from a decision-making process and a usage standpoint of Oliver Marmol, the way he's been able to maneuver the bullpen. I always say this, like there are people who don't like Oliver Marmol. I'm well aware of that. That's something that has been made incredibly clear to me. I think even, not all of them, but I think even some of the individuals who are not fans of Oliver Marmol can recognize the fact that he is pretty good managing a bullpen. That is, without a doubt, one of his strengths and one of the things that he does particularly well, and he has shown that each of the last 2 years. Now, that doesn't mean that every move he makes is going to work. That doesn't even mean, there are times he makes moves that I disagree with a little bit on the way that he uses the bullpen, but I think he's pretty good at it. Just because you're not batting 1,000 doesn't mean you're not good at it. And we'll watch and see how the bullpen ends up playing out. And that's probably going to be an area that the Cardinals add to at some point in time. Now, we go back to what we just talked about with Dustin May, because you're probably holding up a little bit as a result of the 40-man situation, where the 40-man roster is completely full and the club probably doesn't want to lose anybody off the 40-man roster here at this moment. There are some guys that they can remove from the 40-man roster if they need to, and if they're forced into that, I'm sure they'll be ready to do it. But for the most part, I would think that they would like to hold on to all, you know, most if not all of the players who are currently on that 40-man roster. So all that being said, if you want to add your bullpen, that's probably one where you're going to have to wait a little bit of time. And you're also probably going to be reacting to whether or not you move on from Jojo Romero. Because if you move on from Jojo Romero, there's going to be that much more pressure to add a veteran left-hander out of the bullpen. It's a right-handed, they just don't have a lot of lefties down there in the pen. And that's an area that they definitely can add to. All right, again, we've got a lot coming up on the program today. We are going to be joined by Lynn Worthy coming up in just a few moments. Later on this hour, Tom Timmerman. It's the All Post-Dispatch STL Today Hour. And then next hour, Corey Riggs, broadcaster with Missouri State. He'll be on the call for the Xbox Bowl on Thursday night when Missouri State looks to win a bowl game for the first time in the program's history, playing their first year as a member of FBS football. Again, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. We'll take a break, have more in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Hey
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us today. We're very happy to welcome on to the program. He is our friend from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He is a sports columnist. He is Lynn Worthy. Lynn, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad to be with you.
As a former baseball beat writer, were you glad not to be at the baseball winter meetings where it was 3 days of waiting for something to happen that nothing actually ever did?
No, I wouldn't say I was glad not to be there. It's always one of those events that your calendar revolves around and everybody's in the same place and all that sort of thing. But from the aspect of, the off season is the off season. So you're always waiting for things that you're not sure are going to happen or when they're going to happen. And maybe they'll look differently than what you actually thought. And then obviously, shortly after the winter meetings, there's a move that kind of happened, but it hasn't yet officially happened. Mm-hmm. So there's always things.
Part of me wonders, and I've openly wondered this, are they slow playing the Dustin May thing, thinking that they're close on one of these trades and they don't want to lose somebody off the 40-man roster? So if they slow play the official signing of May, maybe they can make that after they trade away a player and they have an open 40-man spot. Do you think I might be on the right path on that?
I tend to think so. I mean, when a deal is agreed upon and then there's this delay, you start wondering, okay, is something going wrong? Is there something with the physical, especially a guy who's had injury? But at the same time, it feels like Himes been pretty open about them looking at different things, gauging interest in some of their guys. I think just this past weekend on your station, him talking with Tom Ackerman, it sounded like, maybe even within this week something could happen. So that makes me lean towards, okay, maybe there really is, a trade that, that could finalize within the same time period, in which case then it's like, well, you add this guy to the 40-man as a free agent, you have to let somebody go, and then if you make a trade that where you're talking about prospects or guys that don't have to go in the 40-man, then you potentially lost a guy because you can, just for a matter of logistics of a day or two. So that's why it makes me think that maybe that is what's going on.
There's been all kinds of reports and speculation about the kind of return that the Cardinals could potentially get for Brendan Donovan. And recent reports have started naming specifically from Seattle and San Francisco some of the top prospects in those organizations. What do you think at the end of the day is going to be the kind of value that the Cardinals can get for a Donovan?
So it's funny because it was late in September. I actually had written a column where I said that I thought Donovan would be the best play for them with Donovan. The way he'd help them the most would be to stay with them, and talked about his experience, his versatility, consistency, the fact that he can, he can move him around. And as they're trying to figure out how the rest of the pieces fit together, he makes everything fit because of that. He's also got that link to the last, Yadi Albert year. And in my mind, I did not think that the return was potentially what we've been hearing lately. And so, I completely stand behind that, especially at that time. And I still think that's right. But at the same time, I'm like, well, if we're talking about a top 50 prospect and another prospect or a guy who could potentially compete for a starting rotation spot this season and another prospect, then you gotta look at that. So, I thought Donnie would have been a piece that you could hold on to and give you value, even though you're in this rebuild. But if you're talking about, the guy that's been reported, I think, by The Athletic in Seattle, Montas, and just reading some of his background from Baseball America, if he's the type of power prospect that they're touting, and that's the type of guy and somebody else, then, you got to really look at that one. Names get put out there. You don't know for sure how serious that is, if that's really what the return looks like. But if that's a possibility, then you got to explore that. And if that's, if you're talking about a guy, I think Baseball America's write-up had compared him to him because he had trained with Yordan Alvarez's trainer or swing mm-hmm. coach and compared it to that way. If you're talking about a guy like that, especially where some of the power prospects they've had in recent years obviously are still – haven't quite found it, but if you can add a guy like that to your system, That changes the outlook on that a little bit.
Before we get you out of here, I want to talk Blues for just a moment. And you wrote a column recently that had more of a positive spin about the reaction that the team had to some things that were going on in the physical play and so forth. But then they come back out and they lose yesterday to the Predators 5-2. Doug Armstrong pulled local media aside today and had kind of a real world conversation with them on where this team is at. It just feels like every single time something is there that gives you a little bit of hope, they very quickly are able to get rid of that hope with a bad performance.
Yeah, it just seems like they're kind of stuck in this middle ground where, I mean, obviously they haven't played well enough to make you think that, you know, that they're a contending team. They haven't played well enough to make you think that what you saw at the end of last season was, you know, what this team really is. At the same time, you've had injuries. You've had, you know, it's been one thing after another. I think I wasn't out there today for practice, but just reading what my colleague Matthew DeFranks had written, you know, like Doug Armstrong pointed to sort of, you know, some of the, you know, in one month, you know, maybe it's goaltending. Another month, you got some issues with, you know, underproducing forward players. And then you get injuries piling up. So it's like it's a moving target in some ways. And then on top of that, I think there's just a real question about this core group of players and whether or not they have to shake that up. And it's still December, so there's not necessarily a motivation for a lot of other teams to make those moves, the ones that you'd have to, you know, be dealing with. So it's just sort of, it feels like they're kind of stuck right now. And the only thing that you can really hope for is that they start playing better, that they at least become a little bit consistent in the group that they have and then go forward from there. But even that has not been easy to come by in these recent games.
It's really challenging for me to talk about them, Lynn, because I have eyes and I can watch them play and it leaves a ton to be desired. But then I can bring up the standings page and I see that they're only 4 points out of a playoff spot and they can make that up in 2 weeks if they need to. So everything that they wanted to accomplish when the season got started is there for the taking. They just aren't playing consistent enough hockey to get there.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, like, so, like you say, it's not like the season's not over for them by any means yet. And they could still make a run. It's just you're not seeing the things that would make you, they give you the encouragement that there's a run in there, just because they can't seem to you know, string together. You know, I mean, they still, I don't think, have won, you know, 3 games in a row. So it's, and so you're, to think that they're going to go on this run is, you know, that's a bit of faith that I don't think they've earned at this point. And again, like I say, that just that core group just, over, you know, really the last couple of seasons, you know, whether it's been coaching changes, they've made some changes in terms of personnel adding to, you know, whether that's, you know, the Broberg and Holloway or bringing in Fowler. And like, so, and then in this offseason, so like they've made these changes to the group with that core group still there, and it's still not consistent. It makes you think that, well, maybe this is the year that they have to shake some of that up so that they can maybe put things in place for going forward with some of these young guys now in the mix as well when they're healthy.
I'm not a hot take guy, but when I saw today that Doug Armstrong said that they're not going to sell for 50 cents on the dollar, my reaction is sell 50 cents on the dollar. Clear the cap space, clear the roster spots. This group is not going to win you anything of significance. So move on from some of these guys in whatever way you need to, even if the return isn't great, and give your chance to kind of rebuild the core of the roster.
Well, I mean, there's two things there. One is, you know, you're never going to, even if you're going to sell it for 50 cents on the dollar, you're not going to come out and say it. It's, you know, it's sort of like the people say, well, you know, Heimblum said they're not going to release, you know, Nolan Arenado, which I don't think they necessarily will. But even if that is an option, you don't put it out there because then you can't trade him. You can't expect to actually get anything back if your public posture is like, yeah, well, we might just let him go. Then nobody is going to make that deal. And if you're out there saying, well, yeah, we just need to, you know, shake things up and get what we can get, then how are you going to actually negotiate a trade if you're like, yeah, we'll take 50 cents on the dollar? Like, that's so one part of it is posturing. The other part of it is, you know, I think it's still somewhat early to for them to, and with all the injuries, to really have a gauge on what this looks like. But I think as you get closer to that trade deadline, that tune may change, especially depending on how things unfold on the ice in these next couple of weeks.
He is Lynn Worthy. You read him in the Post-Dispatch and at stltoday.com, working as a sports columnist. Lynn, really appreciate you taking some time. If we don't talk to you before then, have a very Merry Christmas, and I hope to see you very soon.
Well, thank you for having me, and same to you. I hope all is well.
Awesome. Very good. That is Lynn Worthy joining us on the program, and we appreciate him taking some time with us. We're going to go from one Post-Dispatch writer to another because City SC, they have a new head coach. What should we know about this guy? We're going to ask Tom Timmerman. That's next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line rolls on right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Earlier today, City SC officially announced something that had been reported about a day earlier. They have a new head coach. His name is Johan DeMay, and he comes over to City SC after most recently he was working as an assistant coach with the Columbus Crew. So unlike the last time that they had to make a hire and they went with somebody who had a more international background, they bring in somebody who has been working in Major League Soccer. To talk through this, we're very happy to welcome back onto the program. Does an outstanding job covering City SC and doing a whole lot of other things as well. for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He is Tom Timmerman. You follow him on Twitter at Tom Tim, T-I-M-M on the Twitter handle. Tom, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, man. It's funny, I'm listening, you know, in the SLU basketball promo there before this segment. It's like, wait, I'm gonna be there tomorrow for the Bethune-Cookman game. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll see if we have time. We might be able to throw a little SLU basketball here at the end, but this is a big deal. This is another new direction for this team, and Corey Ray coming in as the new sporting director. What's your kind of just overall general takeaway on Yoan DeMay becoming the new head coach for City SC?
It's their fifth head coach, if you include interims, in going to be four seasons now. So that's a lot. DeMay is young. He is 35. He's actually younger than David Critchley, who he's replacing. He's got a track record, but, the times he was the head coach, I mean, it was the interim coach the first year of Cincinnati when they were terrible. And so he has a terrible record, and then two games in their second season, so it's hard to get a feel, for his track record. And so much is going to depend on the players, because certainly there's been a lot of coaches through here that have had a tough time. He's one of those things that the team kind of needs. He's a young, vibrant guy who, has worked with a lot of good players and a very good coach. Wilfred Nancy, the coach at Columbus, was considered one of the best coaches in the league. So he's got a good pedigree as far as that goes, and now he's got to try to turn it into something, and we'll find out how that goes. He's going to have the support of management. He's worked with Corey Ray before, but what that means as to how long he lasts, about 2 years is about the lifespan for a lot of coaches. So we'll see, but, he is going to, I think, bring something to this team. And he's actually one of the things that the team needs, which is someone who can be the face of the franchise and go out there and because I think this club has lost the enthusiasm of a lot of the fan base, just the way the last 2 years have gone. And so that's something that I think he will be, important. He knows the league. He's been in the league since really 2019, so 5 years in the league. He's been in North America for about 10 years. So, he knows the market. He knows, how the league works. And I think he can relate to people far better than Olaf Melberg ever did.
From a style standpoint, how much does it change moving forward, do you think?
It shouldn't change much. I mean, the team was quite adamant that they wanted someone, that the team's identity would be the high-pressing style, and that he would keep, whoever they hired would keep that going. So that is kind of a given from day one. But they said that one of the things they like about him is his ability to work on other on-ball stuff, because the rap against the high-pressing style is that it works in the regular season, but it doesn't work in the playoffs when you're playing good teams. And we saw that with Philadelphia this year, and Bradley Carnell, who had the high-pressing style that had them get the best record in the league. But when they got to the playoffs, they did not get far. And that's because you're playing better teams. And that's when you have to be able to do things on the ball. And the team has said that is something that stood out to them during the hiring process, was his ability to get the team to also play an on-ball style, that would help them win games when they're in those situations when a pressing style and forcing turnovers isn't enough.
You answer this question a little bit by saying what you just said, that the style isn't going to change that much. But that being said, you have a new sporting director, you have a new head coach. How much of this is an organizational reset?
Well, Diego Gigliani, the team president, has made it clear that the high-pressing style is what they want the team's identity to be. But, it's in some ways it's not City. Well, it all depends on how you want to define City 2.0. If Melberg was City 2.0, or was Critchley, where that change is happening. In some ways, it's going to be back to 1.0, or maybe this is 1.5. That it's the high pressing style with better on ball stuff, which was what Carnell had hoped to do in the second season and didn't really take place, but that they wanted to do more on-ball stuff. So it's a difficult balance as to where this goes, and we're going to have to see how it actually plays out. I mean, right now it's going to be tough to make changes because right now it's kind of the same players. I mean, they have not added anyone new, and that is going to be Corey Ray's task now as the offseason picks up, is how he's going to change the character of this team with players. Because right now, I mean, there's nobody new on this team. The MLS draft is on Thursday, but that's not a place where you get players to change the identity. And then it's going to be, and you know, training camp opens in a month, you know, what they can do on the winter transfer market to bring in new players to make things happen. Or can they, you know, roll the dice and hope they don't have players get injured like they have in every other year with this team?
Is it true that that in-season transfer market is really the more impactful one than the winter one?
It certainly is. I mean, it's where you can get better players. The problem, and this is one of the reasons behind the change of the schedule, is that, you know, you can bring, there's more players available and better players available in the summer window, but with the way the MLS schedule was, you'd get them for 10 games, and so you did not maximize what you would get, and it wasn't until the next season that they would help. So it is going to be tough for him to find really game changers in the European or South American markets in that time. You know, it's a matter of, can they get people, other players from MLS, or can they find that, you know, diamond in the rough, you know, in the European market. But you know, Lewis Fanninsteel must have told me a dozen times how hard it was on that winter transfer window to get players, because that's a time when teams want to get rid of players that they don't like rather than players who are out of contract and can really help your team.
By all accounts, David Critchley did a very nice job, and he certainly was considered for this job, doesn't get it. Where does he go moving forward? I know in your story about it, you mentioned the fact that the organization would like him to stick around in a different role. How probable is that?
You know, it'll be tough. It'll be what David can find out there. If there are other teams that will hire him as an assistant coach or, you know, whatever that is, that's something I would think he would be interested in. I mean, he loves the franchise. They gave him this chance, which, you know, was really a big reach on their part to give it to him, and they supported him and they would like him to stay. Now it's, you know, could he be an assistant coach on this team? You know, that will be DeMay's call as to how that works. Would he want to go back to being the City 2 coach? He might find that being, you know, after he's had this taste of being the big guy running a team, you know, does he want to go back to the second team after his time with the first team? I don't know. And that is something that may depend on what is out there, you know, in the MLS market for him. I mean, he did a great job, and I think it would not have been bad, you know, for this team to have hired him. I think he would have been had the support of a lot of players. And obviously, you know, DeMay has a resume which is longer in the league. I mean, Critchley's MLS resume is, you know, the 15 games he was, or the 19 games he was head coach. You know, obviously DeMay been in the league longer. But, you know, he's a guy that deserves a chance somewhere on a first team. And I think that'll be a question of how the City SC first team coaching staff plays out. But yeah, you couldn't though also blame DeMay for being awkward about having the guy he's replacing being on his staff.
Yeah.
So at the same time, DeMay was in this situation in Cincinnati twice where he was interim coach, and I don't know that he was a candidate for the job either of those times, and he was kept on the staff by his successors. So you know, he knows the situation, you know, Critchley is in.
Couple more minutes with Tom Terran from the Post-Dispatch. It's a little bit older news now, but it's the first time we've talked to you since then. Were you surprised that, maybe not that John Hackworth left the organization, but he left the organization for what to me felt like a bit of a step back, taking a college job at Navy?
One of the last times I talked with John during the season, when he was in when he had like three jobs, he was technical director, he was coaching City 2, and he was the interim sporting director. And I said, you know, is there any interest for you in, you know, letting Critchley take back this over and you could be the sporting director? And he said, no, I love to coach. I mean, coaching is what I want to do. And in a lot of ways, college coaching is perfect for John Hackman because, you know, he, and especially coaching at the Naval Academy, because they don't have to worry about NIL there. That's not an option at the service academies. They're not, you know, they're already getting a free ride, but it's not like they're paying players to come. So it's perfect. He doesn't have to deal with the headaches that every other college coach has to do. He has he loves the things like the Naval Academy. That's really up his alley. And I remember on the first day he got hired at City SC, I said, does this mean you're done being a coach, as you become director of coaching? He said, no, I think I still want to be a coach. If an MLS job came along, you know, yes, but I think he's going to be, I mean, the Naval Academy is the perfect place for John Hackworth. And yes, you know, he might covet an MLS job somewhere down the line, but I think right now that's just a great place for him. And he loves that kind of atmosphere, and it's going to be good for him. You know, I didn't know what it would take. I thought maybe he would stay at St. Louis just because he's got two sons that live in St. Louis now, and that would be something that would keep him here. But I think he's going to love it. I mean, I've been to the Naval Academy in Venice Campus. It's a wonderful place, and I think that team is already going to be better just by him being there. So he was going to get back into coaching some way, somehow. And, you know, the tough thing when you get, you know, interviewed for both the coaching job and the sporting director job, and you're in there as an interim basis and don't get it, it's tough to have a guy stay in that situation. So this is a great chance for him.
He is Tom Timmerman, covers City SC, also covers the Billikens, as he mentioned earlier. Billikens will be back in action coming up tomorrow evening against Bethune-Cookman. We'll have Tom back on to talk more Billikens in the future. But Tom, thank you so much for taking the time. And if we don't talk to you before, then have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Matt, and same to you. Take care.
Awesome. Very good. That's Tom Timmerman joining us on the program. We appreciate him spending a little bit of time with us. We are going to take a break. We'll come back. Again, we've still got a lot coming up on the show tonight. We'll talk after the top of the hour. We'll talk with Corey Riggs, broadcaster for Missouri State, as they get ready for their bowl game on Thursday night. We'll get a little more baseball in here, some more Blues hockey in here as well. We got a lot to do before we're done in about an hour and 10 minutes at 8 o'clock. You're locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it just for a couple more minutes here in hour number one. Hour number two, we are going to talk with Corey Riggs, broadcaster with Missouri State. Again, they've got their bowl game that's going to be coming up on Thursday night in Texas, Frisco, Texas, the Xbox Bowl. They're going to match up against Arkansas State. I really believe that that is one of the great sports stories in the state of Missouri that not enough people are talking about, the fact that Missouri State is in their first year playing FBS football, and they have found themselves into a bowl game, which is pretty darn impressive. So we're going to talk with Corey Riggs coming up in just a little while. Last thing, and I'm the last one to talk about what's going on with City SC in terms of like breaking down anything, but I get that they're going to try to keep the style somewhat the same as what they've had before, and that makes sense because the way the roster is, you're just not able to make major changes in the offseason. The major changes that you want to make occur in season. And that's part of why MLS, as much as I disagree with the decision by Major League Soccer to change their calendar, I think it's terrible. They're going to be competing with football and basketball instead of just competing with baseball, and they're going to be playing a lot of cold weather games. Like, I disagree completely with them changing their calendar here moving forward. They'll do one more year of the old one. I do recognize the reasons why they're doing it, and part of it is because they don't have the opportunity to have a normal off season when it comes to actually like building a roster, and that will change it a little bit. But this is another new era, complete new era of City SC with a new sporting director and a new head coach, new leadership. This absolutely is a new era for this team, and we'll see what happens because they came off, you know, we all know the story of their first year of existence, how good it was. It hasn't been good since then. It's been terrible since then. And they're an expansion franchise, so it's okay that it's been terrible. Expansion franchises are expected to be terrible for a certain amount of time when they first come off the ground. That doesn't happen as much now in the leagues that we've seen expand, both MLS and NHL. But we'll see with this new group whether or not they're able to put some gas on the fire and get things going once again. We'll talk some Missouri State football. They're in a bowl game on Thursday. We'll do that next here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX. We do welcome you into the program. We are efforting right now. We hope to have him on here in the next moment or so. We are efforting the play-by-play voice of Missouri State football, Corey Riggs, as we hope to talk with him about Missouri State and their bowl game that they're going to be in coming up later on this week, on Thursday night, actually. This is our only full show that we're doing this week, so this is our one opportunity to kind of go deep on a few things, and that includes the Xbox Bowl, which is on Thursday night from Frisco, Texas, as Missouri State is going to match up against Arkansas State. So I think we are going to give him a call back here in just a second, and we'll try to get him on coming up in a moment or so. Missouri State, a 7-5 season in their first year of playing FBS football, and technically they were not eligible for bowl games, but then when there were not enough bowl eligible teams to fill up all the bowls, at that point they were able to go to some of these teams that were not eligible for whatever reasons and give them eligibility. That includes Missouri State, and rightfully so, because they had a spectacular season leading to this point. And with that, we do welcome in, he is the radio play-by-play voice of Missouri State football. He is Corey Riggs. You follow him on Twitter at @IamCoreyRiggs. Corey, thanks for taking some time with us tonight. How are you?
Oh, doing fantastic. Frisco is amazing. This community is the perfect spot for a bowl game. Xbox is a great sponsor, and the Bears are having a blast down here right now.
Yeah, set the scene a little bit, because actually I was having a conversation with somebody earlier where I was talking about the fact that, it's not the college football playoff, but I like the bowl system because it gives teams an opportunity to be rewarded with a bowl game. It gives fans the opportunity to go see something a little bit different. It gives the 18 to 22-year-olds an opportunity to play in a different kind of game, and it gives the communities an opportunity to show out. So set the scene in Frisco, Texas, leading into Thursday's Xbox Bowl.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree with you more. I scratch my head at any school, whether it's Notre Dame or Kansas State, for whatever reason, saying you don't want to take your kids to a bowl game just boggles my mind. The experience that we've had down here since arriving on Sunday has been nothing short of spectacular. I mean, these young men, almost 100 of them, make the trip down here as a part of the Missouri State football team. They go out to dinner. They meet their opponents. This Xbox Bowl, in their inaugural run here, really putting a lot of time and effort into making sure that the Red Wolves and the Bears get to know one another, that it's a friendly rivalry, and there's a lot of good sportsmanship come Thursday night at 8:00 inside the Star. They've had multiple events where the teams have competed against one another. The first was in a family feud style event, which the Bears won. So congrats to them on that. Meanwhile, today they had an event called, so everybody knows bowling. Apparently there's something down here in Texas I wasn't familiar with called bowling, where you throw a football and knock down bowling pins. Huh. And we played that between A-State and Mo-State today, and the Red Wolves got the better of the Bears in the bowling today. So we're 1-1, evened up as bowl week goes on. But, I mean, what better way could you start a bowl week than seeing Arkansas State and Missouri State student-athletes get handed out brand-new portable handheld Xboxes. I mean, Xbox gave away basically $130,000 to those two teams the night they got to the hotel. And I can promise you, the Wi-Fi in this hotel cannot handle all of those Xboxes on it right now. I can't upload content to save my life, man.
What's taking a step back and looking back at the season, I keep saying that what Missouri State did this year is the sports story that in the state of Missouri, we're just not talking about enough. First year in FBS football, and the team goes and does what it does, and they get themselves into a bowl game. As more than a bystander, but not quite a participant, just watching what was going on, what was it like as this season went through and all of a sudden you realized there could be some pretty cool things on the table?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's the best sports story in Missouri that nobody outside of the 417 is talking about. Because honestly, there weren't even that many people in the 417, in the Ozarks, that thought this Bears team could be a bowl team. Now, let's start with the simple fact that as a transitioning from FCS to FBS member, we weren't supposed to be. And I know you were talking about that before I could finally get my phone to work and hop on with you. But, this wasn't supposed to be in the cards. Every talking head, pundit, college football expert, Phil Steele, you name any of them, said this was a 3 or 4 win team max. But the guys in the locker room and the head coach and the coaching staff didn't see it that way. And I tell you what, the difference between week one and being awestruck and shell-shocked inside the LA Memorial Coliseum to a USC team to going on the road to Marshall, a school that since making that same transition from FCS to FBS has an 84% winning percentage at home. Only Alabama, Boise State, and Texas A&M have had better home winning percentage in the last decade than Marshall, than the Thundering Herd. And the Bears went out there and beat them. And when they did, it was like a switch flipped. They got into Conference USA play and beat teams that did not expect them to put up a fight. The Bears went in and won close game after close game. Jacob Clark has been the Missouri State equivalent at times of Pat Mahomes back when Kansas City was winning games, not really like this year. But if you give the Bears the football, Jacob Clark needs 60 seconds and a timeout, and he will get you a score. And they won one score game after one score game against Middle Tennessee, New Mexico State, FIU. They didn't lose in the month of October, in a month where they had to play all their games on Wednesday night, because that's CUSA's way of getting national TV exposure. So they went 3-0 on Wednesday night, and they were off to the races from there. A 7-win season. And I could not be prouder of this bunch. They have exceeded expectations.
Ryan Beard did just a spectacular job coaching the team, and that led to another opportunity as he moves on to Coastal Carolina. Never a great situation when you lose your coach prior to a bowl game. How has the team handled this transition as Nick Petrino is currently serving as the interim head coach?
You know, the young men on this team have done a great job. Nick, LD Scott, the offensive and defensive coordinators, all the staff are here. Everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction. But I think the young men on this team have a refreshing outlook at this, because this is the era of modern college football. And what's good for the coach now is good for the players too. And Ryan Beard, over the course of the 3 years as the head coach here, has had to bring guys in, coach them up, develop them, and have them look him in the eye and say, "Coach, I've got a better opportunity. It's a bigger opportunity for me and my family. I've got to take it." And Ryan has shook those young men's hands, patted them on the back, and said, "I'm proud of you. Go do it." I think these players have taken on that same persona of their coach, the same way he is energetic and gritty and tough. They also understand this was going to be almost triple the salary that he was making at Missouri State. This was a place that already has indoor training facilities, is selling out games. There were things that you just couldn't turn away from. And I mean, Conway, South Carolina is I love living in Springfield, Missouri, but Conway, South Carolina is a pretty nice place to live too.
Are those type of things in the cards for Missouri State as they continue to grow? Is there work about the facilities improvements and the training and all of that? Is that part of the overall plan?
Absolutely. There have been multiple million-dollar improvements made to Placer Stadium, the Bears' home, already. Brand new turf this year, brand new LED lights that were all shown off this year. They redid the press box. There's been improvements to the luxury suites. They're in the middle of a fundraising campaign right now, I believe an $8 to $10 million campaign. They've got about $5 to $8 billion donated by private and anonymous donors already to take McDonald Arena, which for the real diehard SMS Bear fans and students that matriculated on that campus. That was the original arena where Bears basketball started. It ended up being kind of a PE classroom and some other things. Well, now it's going to get a multi-million dollar facelift. It's going to be brand new offices for football, brand new workout facilities, brand new locker room. So there's a ton of improvements being made. Maybe the one that Patrick Ransdell, the Bears AD, says all the time, you can't do everything at once. You got to kind of take them a bit at a time. So this year it was the stadium. Next year it's going to be offices, workout facilities. Then I think you'll see a conversation about indoor training facilities. Because we got a ton of high schools in Southwest Missouri that have popped up really nice 100-yard indoor training facilities. But the Bears are really landlocked as far as real estate to drop out in the middle of campus, and that's one of the hangups there.
Interesting. It is fertile recruiting land when you think about what's not that far away in a couple major markets in the state of Missouri, and then you don't have to go that far south to get into some states that produce some high D1 talent. So it's a good place to be. It's a good place to build a program. And we mentioned earlier that Nick Petrino is serving as the interim coach. I read the other day that his dad, Bobby Petrino, who had been the head coach there for a little while, has been around a little bit recently. Is that correct? Does he have an unofficial role kind of right now?
Well, there's no role other than dad.
Okay.
And I can tell you that because I had the weirdest experience today, and this is going to sound like horrible name dropping, but I still don't believe it happened. I was in the lobby talking to our director of athletics, Patrick Ransdell, when Bobby Petrino, his wife, and a couple of the grandkids made their way through the lobby. So we started talking to Bobby, and walking up in the middle of that conversation was Hall of Fame wide receiver Jerry Rice, who happens to be staying here at the Omni. And he introduced himself to Coach Petrino. He then introduced himself to me, and I was like, I know who you are. like, this is crazy. Get to meet Jerry Rice. But Bobby is super proud of his son-in-law's LD and Ryan and his son, Nick. And while he has been in town because his stint in Arkansas is over, there's been no associate head coach or anything like that. He's just been supporting Nick and LD and the family and is here to cheer on the Bears on Thursday night.
It's pretty remarkable what the Petrino family has, in a kind of a short amount of time, really meant to Missouri State football.
Oh, I think there's going to be a statue down the road. Listen, if you are a Missouri State fan or alum like I am, and you have been on that campus in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, and you have seen what football on that campus was, this is unrecognizable. I mean, not just the jump to FBS, but when Bobby Petrino took that job 6 years ago, as COVID was happening, he ended things that I never knew would be able to end. It was a 30-year playoff drought. We hadn't been in the playoffs since 89-90. Bobby Petrino, Ryan Beard, Nick Petrino, that staff ended that. We got back in the playoffs. We had never won a share of the Missouri Valley Football Conference title. They did that in the first 2 years here. And then Coach Petrino had an opportunity to go somewhere else, which is kind of par for the course at this level of football in a school like Missouri State. So he ends up back in Arkansas, and it gives Ryan a golden opportunity to show that he is the prototypical modern head football coach. He is energetic. He is a master motivator. The kids will run through a brick wall for him. He is good with the media. Coastal Carolina is very lucky that they got him. We're going to miss him a lot here in Springfield, but there is a ton of work going on right now, a lot of it going on right here inside the Omni Hotel at the Star to find the next head coach of Missouri State football.
An amazing story. Missouri State, first year FBS football, 7-5. There were not enough schools to fill all the bowls. Generally, you have to go through this transition period where you're not bowl eligible. Missouri State was able to take advantage of some schools out there, either not going or just not enough teams from the onslaught. They get bowl eligible. They're headed to the Xbox Bowl Thursday night, Arkansas State. Such a great story. Corey Riggs, thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful call. Have fun on Thursday night, and hopefully we can chat with you every once in a while moving forward.
No, I'd love the opportunity. Thanks for having me on, and go Bears.
Awesome. Very good. It's Corey Riggs. He's going to be broadcasting the game coming up on Thursday night on radio, Missouri State, Arkansas State. Again, the Xbox Bowl in Frisco, Texas. And that makes me really happy. Multiple things make me happy. First off, I think it's cool that Missouri State's in the bowl game. Secondly, just the idea that that community is really supporting that bowl game. If you were with us during Rush Hour Sports, Kevin Wheeler had the thought that we need to change the bowl system and get rid of some of these bowls, and I'm against that. I like all these bowl games. I know sometimes the optics of nobody in the stands doesn't look great. I know sometimes the optics of teams opting out. I am a graduate of a school that opted out of a bowl this year, Kansas State. After they had a coach retire, they made the decision that and their next head coach is going to serve as the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M until their run in the college football playoff is over. And it didn't sound like their last coach, Chris Klieman, was real interested in continuing to coach the bowl game. So they made the decision not to participate in a bowl game. I was disappointed by that. I think bowl games are special, even if you're not in the college football playoff. And it's really good to see that part of that has to be the community supporting the bowl and making it feel like a big deal. And it sounds like the good people down in Frisco, Texas, absolutely are doing that for both Missouri State and Arkansas State. So good stuff all the way around. We appreciate Corey Riggs taking a few moments with us. We'll take a break. We've still got more coming up. We'll hear from Blues coach Jim Montgomery. We'll do that at about 7:35 or so. Play back some of what he had to say after practice today. We'll talk a little baseball still before we get out of here too. Don't go anywhere. You're locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
At it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to be with you. Taking you for another 35 minutes. We'll take you till 8 o'clock this evening. And then we've got our Gas House Gang replay from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Short show for SLU basketball. They match up against Bethune-Cookman. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. of The Call, 7 o'clock tip, 6:45 for pregame Thursday night. Countdown to opening day. And no, I got it wrong. Thursday night football. So we'll do a short show along that. And then Friday night, we are moving this week, countdown to opening day. It'll actually be on Friday night this week. So this is the only time at 7:26 p.m. this week that you can be tuned in to KMOX at this exact time and hear a Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll hear from Jim Montgomery coming up in just a few moments. So I was talking earlier about the 40-man implications of the Dustin May deal and why I believe, and I could be wrong on this, I have no inside information on this whatsoever, but I think there's some common sense involved here. It feels like the Cardinals are slow playing the official signing of Dustin May to see if anything else pops off in terms of trades. That way they don't have to remove a player from the 40-man roster to add May, just to maybe a few days later, if that's when a trade happens, all of a sudden trade somebody off the 40-man roster. Maybe you're not getting anything back that fills the 40-man roster. So you lost the player off the 40-man roster for logistical reasons, not for any real reasons. And I would not tell you that there's nobody on the Cardinals 40-man roster that they could not move on from. There are. There certainly are players, but I would assume that there's nobody on the 40-man roster that the Cardinals want to move on from, at least at this point. And I was trying to find the comment on our video stream. Unfortunately, sometimes our video stream and the chat that goes along with it is just a bunch of people calling each other's names and yelling at each other as opposed to interacting with the show. And then I lose the comments that are actually sent at me about stuff that's going on the show. So I can't find it because there's too many comments with people yelling at each other. But somebody basically said, why is Jose Fermin still on this team? I think with the idea that, you know what, if you sign Dustin May, you can move on from Jose Fermin. And is that a possibility? I guess so. But Jose Fermin is not a problem for the Cardinals. If he's the last guy on the roster, that's fine. He didn't play a lot this past year, but his numbers were fine. He played 30 games. He was a .283 hitter. He had a .794 OPS. In fact, one of my not-so-hot takes, but if I was the one making the decisions, I would have actually played Jose Fermin a little bit more than he played. I thought from an off, you know, we'd seen him year after year after year put up huge numbers in the minor leagues and then not be able to recreate that at the major league level. I thought he put together a very nice, solid major league season this year. Did not get a lot of opportunities, but the overall numbers were fine. And I'm not doing a Jose Fermin segment on December 16th. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But the point that I am trying to make is that we can go up and down the 40-man roster. Like if we wanted to, and we're not going to, but if we wanted to, we could read off every single player who is on the 40-man roster and give an explanation and a reason why they are on the 40-man roster and the value that they bring. So yeah, does Jose Fermin bring a ton of value to the St. Louis Cardinals? No, that's not what I'm trying to say. But is a guy who hit .283 with an almost .800 OPS for you and has a pretty solid track record of being a very good hitter in the minor leagues and someone who still is looking for more big league opportunities and maybe is still kind of coming into his own there, Is there value in having that guy on your 40-man roster? Of course there is. Of course there is. So that's the flippant, oh, just sign Dustin May. You can just get rid of, you can just remove Jose Fermin from the 40-man roster. The only point that I'm trying to make, and it's really not an important point to make again on December 16th. We can talk, if Jose Fermin is involved in this team this upcoming season, we can talk about it once the season gets started. But I would encourage not to be so flippant about the 40-man roster. Now, if there's ways to, if you can go get somebody who's better than Jose Fermin, who can do more for you, and the cost is him not being on the 40-man roster anymore, okay, I'm all for that. But I do think that this is an organization that is working very hard to improve overall talent as much as they possibly can. A disappointing performance from the St. Louis Blues last night. We are going to hear from Jim Montgomery. He spoke after practice today. That conversation is coming up. Now, those cuts from him are coming up in just a moment on KMOX. It's Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Another disappointing performance from the Blues last night. They give up a hat trick to Philip Forsberg, and they lose to the Nashville Predators by a 5-2 score. They have now lost three of their last four. They sit with a record of 12-15-7. Head coach Jim Montgomery did meet with the media earlier today. Let's go back through some of the things that he had to say. First off, do want to mention some different moves that they've made. They made the decision to claim forward Jonathan Berggren off of waivers. He comes from the Detroit Red Wings. He is dressed in 15 games for the Red Wings this season, 6 points, 2 goals, 4 assists, and 6 penalty minutes. Originally, he was a second round draft pick of the Red Wings in the 2018 NHL draft. They also have sent back to Springfield forward Hugh McGing. And in addition to that, previously, they had made the announcement that they were recalling Otto Stenberg from Springfield. And with that, let's start with what Montgomery had to say today, specifically about Stenberg, what he thinks about him, and whether or not he might be a player in their next game as they are set to next match up against the Winnipeg Jets, a game that's going to be coming up tomorrow evening.
Possibly. I thought he had a pretty good day today on the ice. Again, we put lines together with Shen coming back. It's something we'll figure out more tomorrow morning.
How do you
the exact lines and stuff?
Sorry. How do you envision him as a player? What kind of a player do you see out of him?
I see a smart two-way player who, because of his brains and his positional skill and his stick positioning, that he can be a complementary guy, play as high up in the lineup, and also be someone you can rely on to check. That's the way his brain has popped out to me in camp. I thought he had a solid camp. I thought in certain games he really showed what he's going to be able to develop into, which is a guy that, as a coaching staff, that you can rely on in the penalty kill, power play, all situational guy. It just depends on how he continues to mature his game as to what all the situations he ends up playing in.
So a Swiss Army knife type of a guy? Or?
Yeah, quite a bit. Like, on the high end, you're looking at possibly a Jesper Bratt. Like, if I'm looking for players in the league, the one that I see, that I coach, that he reminds me of is Trevor Moore in L.A.
One of the few bright spots this year for the Blues, and really it's been just a few, has been the performance of Dalibor Dvorsky. We saw it again yesterday. He scores both of the goals for the Blues. It seems like he'd gone through a little bit of a lull, and now he's starting to fight through that wall. And Montgomery explained what he has been seeing recently from Dvorsky.
One is the grind of the season, how hard it is to be able to have jump and be a impactful player every night, and he's going through that, and you have to go through that and experience it, and he's dragged himself out of that. I thought 2 games ago you could see pop in him again, you could see him attacking the net, and I thought that carried over into last night.
It is clear that this season is not going the way anybody thought it would go. It felt like this was a year that at the very least they would be contending for a playoff spot, and while that's not off the table. It's not something that they are currently doing. Thought this was interesting for Montgomery. He spent a little bit of time talking about how the group is reacting to the way the season is going.
Yeah, I see the group consistently looking for ways to get better. They're still communicating things that they're seeing that they think we could do better so that we find a solution together to try and make ourselves more consistent, that we have a foundation we can fall back on to be able to win games. Like right now, we have a bunch of injuries. You know, Tampa Bay and Florida have a bunch of injuries. They're finding ways to win. We got to really bear down and understand that when we do have injuries, that we have to play a simpler game and that we have to grind out games.
There was also some talk about comparing last year to this year, and it felt like, especially down the stretch of last season, there was a foundation that they were really able to rely on, and that just hasn't really started to create itself this year.
Last year, the foundational belief really was simple. It was we dedicated to being a strong side forecheck team where we were going to go to the goal line if we didn't have time and space, and that followed up with off of that, our forwards would reload, our D-men would have tight gaps, and that five-man tight unit in the offensive zone would carry together in the three zones. That offensive mindset carried us to be better in our tracking. It carried us to be better in our D-zone coverage. It carried us to be better in our offensive zone play. It was better at our net fronts. And we've tried to stick to that foundation. We started the year with that foundation. We've gone back to it, but we have not been able to sustain it. And again, that's frustrating for everyone because it seems like, okay, our D zone was porous at the beginning of the year. So we spend a lot of time on that. And it reminds me of the song by Harry Belafonte, "There's a hole in the bucket, so fix it, Dear Lila." And Dear Lila's fixed the hole in the bucket, but two other pop. All of a sudden, we can't score goals, you know? So you try and fix, okay, we're going to work on our transition. Then the D-zone goes bad again. So there's a lot of holes in the bucket, and we haven't been able to fill those holes all at the same time together. And it's that togetherness that, again, we have to continue to communicate to each other and work together. Because oddly enough, despite how frustrating everything has been, we're not that far out of playoffs. So it's there for us to grab.
All that being said, and it's hard to say this at this point because you just look, you use your eyes, and you see what's going on with this team, and it's not good. But at 31 points, they are still just 4 points out of a playoff spot. And it seems crazy to talk about the playoffs the way things are going, but Montgomery did make the point that absolutely everything that they want to accomplish this year, still there for the taking.
Outside of, you know, obviously Minnesota's kind of separated themselves with Colorado. Obviously that season's been unbelievable. And Dallas has been phenomenal. And I really don't know about the top teams out west. I know that I don't think they're pulling away from anybody right now. The East is real tight too. You know, it's there's a lot of wishy-washy hockey going on, and I think part of that is scheduling. I think part of it is the NHL's 32 teams, and parity is very evident. You know, outside of a handful of teams.
Do you still preach that to the guys that opportunity is still there?
Yes.
Despite everything?
Yes, but we are trying to make sure that we come up with we're really focusing on two areas that we think will give us a chance to have success every night. You know, and one is the net fronts. That's been really important for us. And then the second one is creating more grade A chances. Out battling our team, the opposition. Those two are kind of intertwined, but they're not completely intertwined.
And then the final thing from Montgomery, I thought this was interesting as well. I think it was Benjamin Hockman from the Post-Dispatch who asked this question. He was asked about what he's kind of learning himself and learning about coaching as he's going through this year and all the adversity that goes along with it.
Every year is a different animal. Expectations can really test your patience. positively when there's no expectations. You seem to have a lot more patience as a coach when your expectations are that you're going to be a team that is ready to compete with the top teams in the league. It's hard to maintain your patience when you've seen success before. The foundation of success that we thought we had achieved, the stability with which we were coming out and starting games and ending games last year in the regular season did not carry over. And that's where it tests your patience.
That is Blues coach Jim Montgomery. Again, the Blues are going to get back at it coming up tomorrow. They match up against the Winnipeg Jets. That's going to be a 7 o'clock puck drop over at the Enterprise Center. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of the program. You are locked to a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. We just heard from Blues coach Jim Montgomery in our last segment. Blues are going to return to action coming up tomorrow when they take on the Winnipeg Jets. I'm having a real hard time talking about the Blues. Not because I don't want to talk about them, not because I don't know what I'm talking about, although you can make your own assessment on that. Where I have a hard time, like, just talking about the Blues is there is so much that they can still accomplish this year because the Western Conference is so muddled. And like I mentioned earlier, the Blues come into action today just 4 points out of a playoff spot. They wouldn't have to play that much better hockey over a two-week period to be right there in a wild card spot, and you wouldn't even feel that much better about the way they're playing. So, and I always think finding a way into the playoffs, there's value in that. They went on an incredible run last year to get into the playoffs. They don't have to go on an incredible run to get into the playoffs. That's not what they need. They just need to play marginally better hockey and win a few more games. That's all they need to do, and they're right where they want to be. And we all, like, we see the team for what we thought they were going to be when the season got started. So that's one side of it, and unless they start trading guys away and start selling and doing things like that, I feel like that's always the goal. Even if they sell, I still actually think that looking and trying to strive for the playoffs is not something that you should stop looking at until things are done. That being said, I have very little faith in the core of this roster, the veteran guys that just have not done what you need them to do. The Kyrus, the Thomases, the Buchnevichs, like a bunch of guys. And I really like, you know, before he got injured, it was fun watching Snuggerud. Dalibor Dvorsky scored the two goals yesterday. He's been a really, really big positive about about this team. There's some other guys, certainly. You know, Philip Broberg's having a really, really nice season. So it is not all bad, but it's certainly not all good either. And I mentioned this earlier a little bit during Rush Hour Sports. Want to bring it back for just a moment before we call it a day on the show. Doug Armstrong met with the local Blues media today and went through a few things. And they were talking about selling at the deadline. And not even the just selling. The deadline wasn't really part of the conversation. It didn't seem like. Maybe it was. It doesn't matter. He made a comment about not wanting to sell like 50 cents on the dollar. And I get why he says it. I really do. And my first reaction to that is good, because that should be the first reaction. But the more I've thought about it, the more I feel like this team needs drastic roster change. And if that means that you've got to go sell at 50 cents on the dollar, and what you get in return is not really going to replace what you're giving up, and you're going to have to replace what you're giving up in other ways, whether it's in free agency in the future, whether it's other types of trades, whatever it might be, I'm comfortable with that at this point. I don't I don't have to feel good about the trades. Yeah, the Cardinals are in a spot right now where if they were to trade Brendan Donovan and they got 50 cents on the dollar, I'd be going, what are they doing? This makes zero sense. This is the opportunity for the Cardinals to maximize return on trades. I don't think this is the time for the Blues to maximize return on trades. I think this is the time for the Blues to reconfigure a roster however you need to get the guys that you don't feel like can lead you to not just to the playoffs, but some playoff success. That you need to find those guys and you need to get them on the roster. And sometimes getting those guys on the roster is about having those roster spots available and then go finding them however you want to find them. So, not that Doug Armstrong listens to me, but my recommendation was, hey, you know what? Sell a guy 50 cents on the dollar. I'm not going to get mad at you. Not going to get mad at you at all, because you're going to get closer to being a championship club. Just it's going to be addition by subtraction, because that guy, those players who aren't leading you anywhere, they're not around anymore. And yeah, they may be talented dudes, but they're not leading you anywhere. So go get some guys that will lead you somewhere. And it doesn't have to be in return for those players. It can be in other ways. And I'll be perfectly okay with that. That is it for the show today. Thanks so much for being tuned in. Thanks to all of my guests for joining us, Lynn Worthy, Tom Timmerman. Also, I talked earlier this hour. It was really good to be able to talk Missouri State football with Corey Riggs. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We'll talk again tomorrow. Short edition of the program tomorrow, but back with you with the Graybar Sports Open Line coming up tomorrow right here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.